pop culture questions only one podcast knows. Nerds That Know, Rated R.
From the greatest minds from around the world, this is the Nerds That Know. Stash here, but no one cares about that. God knows, there's a new Fable announced.
It's that's true. Nobody cares where Stash is because Bobby is here, and that's way more exciting.
I'm sorry. Fable's more exciting than Bobby being here.
No, I'm sorry. Bobby is super awesome. I'm just saying. Oh, and there are other people here, too.
I'm also very excited about the new Fable, and my name is Fox.
Tank here, and I'd be more excited if I didn't know it was already happening.
I knew it was already happening, and I was still excited. You're just crazy.
And Smurf here. Let's just see what the finished product looks like. Putting up a fancy poster with a lot of pretty colors is one thing. I want to see some actual demo. Because this is going to end up like Final Fantasy.
Away. Yeah, that game is years away.
Yeah, this is like Final Fantasy VII Remake. We hear about it. We see stuff. I'm excited. I bought all of the collector editions for Fable back in the day. So
same here.
Don't get me wrong. Fable's, I'm going to play the game. It sounds interesting, but it's not new information. That's all I'm saying. It's been a widely known secret for a couple years. I mean, they bought all of those properties years ago.
I know they bought the properties, but like, who knew if they were actually going to do anything with them after Microsoft shut down?
Look what they've done to the Halo franchise. They abused the shit out of their franchises.
Well, they only abused the Halo franchise. I mean, everything else just kind of like, eh.
There's a new Forza every couple of years.
Yeah, but it's a racing game.
Racing games are designed to come out every couple of years.
I expect that out of a racing game.
Yeah, they need
racing to. Racing game, no one cares.
Exactly. I'm like, okay, whee! That's like, you know, NBA Super Dunk, you know, 2020 or whatever we're up to now on the basketball games, the sports
2K21. Yeah, Mamba's on the cover.
That's just, it's fucking ridiculous.
True.
I don't know. Here's a thought. Take your slow, fat ass out to a park and throw a ball into a hoop. I think that's probably a little more productive than sitting on the couch, covering yourself in Cheeto dust, and trying to hit a three-pointer.
I agree with you a little bit, but those 2K streamers, they make a pile of money.
God, I can't believe that.
Please don't sit on my couch with Cheeto dust. That shit does not come off.
Yeah, 2K streamers are probably like third or fourth most top in the top earners for streaming.
I can't believe that. Just stunned by that.
Trust me, I am too.
Fox, did you play the Fables games? Were you big into them?
Are you fucking kidding me? I live...
I'm going to take that as a possibly yes, maybe.
I actually, just a couple months ago, finished replaying Fable 3. I'm working from home and there was nothing to do at work, so I would just like jiggle my mouse every couple minutes and play Fable the rest of the time.
Let's see, the Fable 3, the collector's edition came in this big old book. In fact, it's right here on my desk.
In my bookshelf upstairs.
It's right here, and you can hear the, here, oh no, it the little clip. This one didn't have Velcro, and it's all in here for the 360. Holy crap, that's how long ago this was. God, this is a beautiful set. I forgot how cool and pretty this set was.
Yeah, the coin I keep in my console, my center console in my living room, in case I ever need to make a decision, and I need luck to decide. Cards were really cool as well.
My card pack is still sealed. I never opened up the cards. I never broke the seal on it.
I broke the seal, but I never played with them.
I'm Schmancy Pan. Fox, were you like total evil, or did you go light, or what was your character?
I mean, you know me. I generally was pretty good, but I like to remain like fairly neutral. I just don't want to be mean to people in video games. Although
chaotic neutral is fun.
I definitely did do at least one playthrough as evil because, like, you have to, but I didn't feel good about it.
Yeah, but I mean, that's the fun of it. It's just going around and just killing everybody. I mean, walking into towns and people just going, oh, you know, like cringing and running away, you know?
That's the difference.
I'll be honest, I'm almost always super good in those games. Not because I want to be, because I buy every single bit of property and then I'm making so much money that I turn my taxes way down that it just makes me good no matter what I do.
Yeah, you're like,
well, that's the difference between you and me, Smurf. I'm nice.
I'm nice. I just have some twisted tendencies. That's all.
See, I go full on dark side.
I'm bouncing back and forth. I was dead center most of the time.
Nah, I like to go dark side. Make sure that everyone runs in terror.
Why
does this not surprise me about you at all, Tank?
Because you know that I'm a bit of a masochist.
Das ist true.
It got boring every time you would walk into a town and they would, you know, yay! You know, they'd clap and applaud you as you came into the town. And I'm just like, okay, I can't handle this anymore.
That's when you got to start hunting them for sport.
Yeah, you couldn't get all the weapons.
Spink is also a bit of a sadist.
Just a little one.
What, you can't get all the weapons if you're evil?
Yeah, there are certain weapons you can't get if you're evil.
Huh. Yeah, but you don't need all the weapons.
You do.
Not when you're hunting civilians for sport. You just need two or three.
Stash is what you would call a completist.
One thing.
Only in Fable. Only in Fable. And Destiny.
That is one thing that I noticed on this last playthrough of Fable 3 is that there are like six collection quests, six like gotta catch them all quests. Like you got the gnomes, you got the like magic weapons, what else, there's like all the chests, there's like four other things that I can't even think of right now.
Oh dude,
okay, all I'm thinking about right now is I have the gotta catch them all song playing in my head now. Fox, thank you.
You're welcome.
So do they change anything about Fable? And if they do, what is it?
Well, it's a different studio, so it's going to be different regardless. I hope they will definitely keep the British humor. The studio that's making it is the same is a British studio.
Stash and I were worried about the British humor staying intact, so we looked it up immediately after seeing the trailer. We were like, are they still in England? Oh, thank God.
Yes, it is a unique humor all of its own.
The thing I'm most hopeful for is I hope they keep the Monty Python people in it. I would really like for Stephen Fry to be in Fable, so I could just like lose my shit entirely.
Stephen Fry in Fable would be hilarious.
Yes, I'd like him to be like a fairly prominent NPC, as long as we're like fantasizing here. I'd like him to be a fairly prominent NPC so that I can continue my parasocial relationship with him.
Fox, I adore you.
Can we piece together some Alan Rickman audio for it? I'd be happy with that.
Oh, I'd love that.
Oh, now I have the sads.
You know what? I really wish that they would put in there is like the albino. Like the Princess Bride.
Yeah.
I would love...
But he has to have the coffee phlegm part.
The coughing phlegm part, and all you do is you see him running around with a wheelbarrow. You don't know what he's doing, but he's always got that damn wheelbarrow.
Oh, did you guys see that? I can't remember the studio that put it all together, but they had a bunch of really famous actors play out bits and parts, like little scenes from The Princess Bride, but like recorded in their home.
On Quibbler?
No budget.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's so good.
It's
so
all
funny.
Posted on our page.
Especially at the ending. That's like the... hits you in the feels part of the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. I mean, isn't there one that did, like, Lego? They were doing Lego in their house for the Princess Bride for climbing the cliffs of insanity or something?
Yeah, but it's all posted on the Nerds That Know page.
Go check it out. It's worth a look. Dude, stop. To speaking about kicking you in the fields, did you watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. last night? Nobody watched it.
Not yet,
no
sorry.
No one cares.
No, sorry.
Not that I don't care, just didn't get the chance.
The house that I am house sitting at does not have anything. I even had to log into my own Amazon account on their TV. They have nothing. They have dog TV. That's it.
Dog TV?
Yes.
Seriously?
Yes. They don't have Netflix. They don't have Hulu. They don't have anything. And the channels that they do have are like one-third the channels that my parents have when I normally house sit out here in BFE. I don't know how they don't kill each other.
Okay.
So,
oddly enough, that kind
I'm
of
watching
sense.
Stuff on my computer because at least they have the internet.
Honestly, I could probably watch dog TV for quite a while.
It's so irritating. Holy crap balls, it is so irritating.
Is it just like, you know, squirrels and...
It's other dogs running around to really lame music. It's elevator music.
I would just put that on silent and watch it all day. I love my doggos.
Oh my god.
You would love dog TV then. Because
you would love dog TV, Fox.
That's what it is.
Honestly, you would. I personally hate dog TV. And I think it's fucking ridiculous that I know multiple households that pay extra just to have that fracking channel, but don't have Netflix. Sorry.
It's okay. You're safe now, Bobby.
It's okay. I'm just going to have a drink of my beverage, and I'm going to feel better.
What you sipping on tonight?
Rum and root beer, because they don't have Coke.
Is it good?
I had to steal the rum from my parents' house.
Yeah, rum, as long as it's spiced rum and root beer is actually very good.
It actually is quite tasty, you know, and I'm not sad about this beverage at all. I'm just, you know, because the only booze alcohol they have in this house is beer, and you all know how I feel about beer.
You know, that sounds really good, but spiced rum has been known to make me break out in hives.
Oh, dude, spiced rum is my jam. Spiced rum with club soda just by itself tastes like cream soda and is so delicious, and I love it. But I really like the Sailor Jerry's rum for that.
Yeah, give me a scotch and soda and I'll be quite happy.
Scotch tastes like feet that have been set on fire.
Delicious, toasty feet.
I like the way the pinky toe tastes the best.
Although, I do buy scotch and whiskey and keep it in my home for when I have people over. You know, because as Stash will attest, I like to be able to say that my liquor cabinet has something for everyone.
It's very true.
Well, maybe I'll have to pay you a visit then.
You are more than welcome. We have a clothing optional hot tub and a fully functional dungeon.
Woo! Field trip to Bobby's.
That sounds great.
And we scan your temperature at the door before you're allowed in.
Excellent.
Oh, man.
Tank, this is a field trip that you are not allowed to partake in. I'm sorry.
I'm cool with that.
I love you, but I don't want you to come and be a part of that.
You don't want me to be in your dungeon?
I don't care if you're in my dungeon. I don't want you to see me naked.
Gotcha.
There are some rules that family should not just cross.
I'm pretty sure Steph doesn't want that either.
I'm pretty sure that Steph doesn't want that either. Anyway, so else on the list, besides the new Fable, what else happened in the Xbox showcase?
I took notes.
Wow. Okay.
Of course you did. This is something, when it's something Stash is very excited about, he comes very prepared.
There were a lot of games that seemed like they were catered specifically to me, because I was like, ooh, bright colors, and it's cute and nature-y. I love it.
Everwild, for example. It's a cel-shaded game that focuses on, like, being part of nature.
Yeah, it is, like I said, specifically catered to me, because you get to hang out with animals, protect the forest, do witchy rituals to, like, bring them back from being mostly dead, and, like, oh, it looks so good. And the cel shading is very unique because it is on, like, a higher resolution, and so when you think cel shading, for me, like, I think of, like, that anime Ruby, but this is, like, it's a lot more seamless. It's really beautiful and not hard to look at, like a lot of cel shaded stuff is.
Yeah, it is a very well done looking trailer. I'm really curious to see what the gameplay develops into. If it's going to be just kind of like a walking simulator or like a puzzle game or something like that. I'm really curious. Along that note, we also had Psychonauts 2, an actual trailer of Psychonauts 2 that is Xbox exclusive. And I lost my shit.
Do you remember?
Not as much as Fable. I cried when the Fable trailer happened, but
do you remember a few years ago when at E3, they showed the just like very super beta, like just like basic form of the game, where it was like, oh, like here's some stuff you can climb on, and it's still just a polygon. Did anybody catch that?
No.
Oh yeah, they had they showed at E3 a few years ago that they were working on a Psychonauts 2, and it seemed like it was never going to happen, but like now it's official and it looks like an acid trip and I love it.
You've said that about a number of different games.
That's because the best games are like acid trips.
That's because I love acid.
Hordes of acid! Yeah!
All right. So for Fox's birthday,
it's just acid.
Well, Tank's birthday is Tuesday, so, you know. Tank, do you also want acid for your birthday?
I'm cool on the acid trip.
All right. You have two small children. Yes. That's an acid trip in and of itself.
Yeah, I get a daily acid trip on no sleep.
I prefer Molly for my birthday, if anybody's, planning something.
Side note, please don't buy us drugs.
Very true. Please don't break the law. We are talking facetiously.
Breaking the law.
The Psychonauts 2 release has been quite the adventure, because it was supposed to be released last year. And like the studio that was doing everything went under, and it was a whole disaster. And it looks like Microsoft picked them up directly, so now they are completely under the Microsoft umbrella.
Yep.
Along with that, kind of a similar tone and like trippiness, is Grounded, is releasing in 5 days. Which is...
What?
In five days?
Yeah, 5 days.
That's a very odd time frame.
They rushed that fucker.
Not really. Grounded has been in development since before Microsoft bought that studio.
Okay, so first off, they're releasing on Tank's birthday. Second, why are they releasing on a Tuesday?
Video normal games happens usually on come Tuesday. Out
That's normal.
Tuesday.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's weird that shit comes out on a Tuesday.
Not for video games.
No, it's always been like that.
You video game people are weird.
It's very few games that aren't released on Tuesday. Unless you're a Switch game. and then you come out on Wednesday?
Yeah, usually Wednesday. Yeah, it's very infrequent that there's a weekend release at this point.
Yep. But Grounded actually looks really, really good. They showed a lot more of it in this trailer, and it looks super fun. You get to build your own bases. It's a Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, except a game.
You get to build cute little leaf houses, and that's been my life's dream forever. So, you know.
Let's see if there's anything else I feel like we need to talk about. There's Gunk, or The Gunk, sorry.
The Gunk, yeah.
That game is also a Fox game. There's The Medium that is like a super spooky looking horror game. It looks super scary.
Yeah, I saw that one.
The trailer of it was very, very eerie.
I thought Psychonauts was also going to be on PlayStation.
Not from what I saw on the thumbnail.
I thought Destiny 2 and Psychonauts were two of the games they showed that are going to be on both.
I checked, but let me check real quick.
Sorry, I know it's jumping back a second, but I was sitting there thinking about it. I'm like, I remember seeing the piece on it, but I thought it was for both.
Well, I know originally Psychonauts 2 was going to be... Oh, yep, you're right. It's PlayStation 4 as well.
Well, you never know. With Microsoft buying the studio and with all the funky shit going on, I wouldn't be surprised if they were like, nope, we're keeping it. Fuck off.
Yeah, I mean, regardless, it's going to be on Game Pass, so going to be the best place to play it.
Oh, yeah. Well, on Game Pass, what they did with that is probably a great move, to be honest.
Yeah, it is the best deal in gaming, period. Like, bar none.
Oh, yeah.
It is, like, Microsoft, like, they lost this generation in a big way, but... They've made all the right moves since they lost, and like they're looking like they're going to come out really strong next generation.
Well, and it looks like they're trying to cater to everybody by giving them a chance to play anything, whether you're single or a family or whatever. They're opening up the floodgates.
I did notice that in this video that it was a lot more open to multiple game types and multiple types of gamers, because usually it's just the hardcore gamers, and there was definitely parts of that, but a lot less of it than there usually is.
Well, yeah, especially because PlayStation seems to be going in that direction still of big blockbuster, huge, you know, hardcore gaming stuff.
Well, yeah, because you've got, like, the Death of Tetsuo going on right now. That game looks beautiful. And
Ghost of Tsushima?
Yeah, that one.
Wow. I'm
going to have to go over and bust him.
Yeah, that game is beautiful. And I don't own a PlayStation to play it.
It does look quite beautiful. And the thing I think is really interesting is it's designed to be a throwback to early samurai films.
That is correct.
And like you can actually watch it with Japanese with subtitles in black and white.
Ooh, black and white would be fun.
Yeah.
I've heard it's
not as great as some of their other stuff, but it's still reviewed quite solidly.
No, and Sony went all in with Last of Us Part 2.
Yeah, that game.
And it was successful.
That's a game of a generation right there.
Well, I think it's their second biggest launch ever for a game? Something like that?
Spider-Man was the first.
Spider-Man was the only one that beat it?
Yeah.
And all PlayStation exclusives.
Yep.
I mean, that's the whole reason why this Xbox showcase was such a big deal, is because this was their chance to like really throw out their chops and be like, hey, we too have exclusives, and we're building up a catalog that's going to make it to where you're going to want to play those games. It's like, I'm sitting on freaking Horizon Zero Dawn, man. I want to play that game so much, and I won't because it's a PS exclusive.
Well, that's why you just got to buy both.
Yeah, but see, I did that one generation, and it was the 360 and the PS3 generation, mm-hmm. and my PS3 just sat there. I played Last of Us on it, and like Uncharted. Like, everything else I played on my 360. So I was like, I'm not going to buy them both again. It's not worth it.
No, see, I did both. I started on the Xbox One. And then when they did the Spider-Man thing, I'm like, oh, well, damn it. I have to buy a PlayStation 4 now. I didn't want to do that. But...
Obsidian, yeah. or not Obsidian, Insomnia is a studio that almost made me buy one. Because I think Sunset Overdrive is the best game exclusive on Xbox One, like bar none.
I love Sunset Overdrive. Really
cool. Yeah, that game is phenomenal and just so, so good. But, I mean, if Horizon didn't get me over, and you fight robot dinosaurs with a bow, like, that's why I play video games. And if that didn't get me over, then nothing will. I'm going to have to be satisfied with the fact I'm not going to be able to play every awesome game I want to.
It's okay. You can play Samurai Jack.
Or just have your roommate buy a different gaming console than the one you own, and then just, you know, share.
Yeah, because except for when you live by yourself. About Fable too much.
Yeah, we both are definitely more like on the Microsoft side. I was thinking about it, and like, if you're a console gamer, you pretty much have to get either an Xbox or a PlayStation and whatever Nintendo console is out at the time.
I just go with all three and space them out. I don't spend my money on anything else. So
you buy all sorts of comics. That's a lie, sir.
That's for
you have well, children. Yeah, but
that's also
he actually
work.
Sells those comics as well. And oh, yeah, okay. The children thing is just, you know, well.
Yeah. They get their own money. Okay, this is my money.
Are they working? Do they have jobs?
Yes.
Are you breaking child labor laws?
On a daily basis.
I'm so proud of you.
Make the little one do laundry.
Exactly.
He's 18 months old, outside rolling quarters.
No.
You know what? Lemonade stands don't police themselves, okay?
Hey, you know what? The 4-year-old was attempting to help at the flea market where Tank was set up. Was that last weekend before?
Weekend before.
Because they are bringing back all of the vendors dealing with social distancing and everything, so that way those who are really suffering from con shortages can still see some of the local vendors, get some of the good con deals on figurines, comic books, t-shirts and stuff down at the Colorado Springs Flea Market. And Tank is set up there every weekend.
I mean, that's a pretty good business model. Who's going to say no to a 4-year-old?
Well, and she was all in cosplay. She was a police officer princess.
Yep.
It was awesome.
Is that cosplay or is that just a costume?
Well, if you ask her, she combined two different characters. So it was a mashup because she actually identified the characters from two of the shows that she watches. I stopped listening after a while and just nodded. But yeah, it was a thing.
Well,
stop at his booth and everything.
Hey, that's all that matters. Exploit the adorableness of children if you don't find them loathsome like I do.
They don't stay cute forever.
They're never cute.
Oh, they got some. Never underestimate the power of cute, sir. Some of them are.
Stash some doesn't underestimate kids. The power of cute. He uses it up for himself on a daily basis.
That is accurate. But children, they're so gross.
Okay, so while we're talking about Tank's business, you know, they're talking, DC released, you know, a whole deal about saying that their new distributors are so much better than Diamond ever was, and what that means for vendors in the future, you know. So because people were originally, we talked about when Diamond's contract was going to end, and people were originally saying that when Diamond's contract was going to end, it was either going to be really wonderful for the industry or really shit for the industry. And it's turning out it's been very good, very positive.
Based on everybody I've talked to, it's
based on everything that DC is saying as well. So, you know, Tank is seeing the positive. Smurf, what say ye?
Well, a lot of shops were still kind of holding on to the Diamond literally a little too tight, thinking that this was going to blow over. A lot of shops jumped ship even before the option became available with DC. So right now, yeah, I think it's the honeymoon period, and DC's doing everything it can through the distributor to get everyone taken care of. There's still some disconnects with some retailers. I know a lot of shops are not liking having the point of sales system. Diamond has integrated into a lot of shops. So when you like upload your invoice, it automatically populates everything into your inventory. With this new distribution system, if you have a Diamond sale system, a POS, you're kind of screwed. You've got to build all that stuff in there.
Yeah.
And that's a pain in the ass. I've done that. It sucks.
There has been a little bit of a learning curve to it.
Yeah. So but without the
quality of the product has been what I've been hearing.
Yes. The quality of the product has been great. They're willing
to deal with it.
Yeah. There is one weird snafu that I'm still trying to figure out, and this is for my personal collection. So the Batman black and white statues, the 100th statue was supposed to come out a couple of weeks ago. It's McFarlane's Batman. And nobody seems to have it. Even though DC shows it shipped, Diamond doesn't have it. Some people have gotten it, but it's been through Sideshow. And everyone's just kind of like in this weird vacuum. Diamond's not answering any questions, nor is DC, and I don't think 5,000 statues are just going to automatically evaporate. And then DC offers a second edition of the statue that comes out later in the year, closer towards November and December. So it's like really weird of like, okay, well, where are the other first editions that everybody ordered? So that's the only thing.
Yeah, I've heard a little bit about that. I talked to actually some distribution people on that one. It's backed up. It is sitting in a warehouse. that happened with a bunch of their toys, apparently, because of the contract with DC, or with Diamond and all that stuff with the DC Select toys and all those. A lot of the toys, specifically, besides, I guess, Marvel, has had some sort of backup. And that's basically across the board. Like, what got shipped out because it was immediately available, and everything else is just kind of in a holding pattern, from what I've heard.
Yeah, so everyone's still trying to figure that system out. So I don't know. I mean, hopefully they find these boxes, you know, Immaculate Conception type of, hey, look, there they are. And I can get my damn freaking Batman statue I've been waiting for weeks. Weeks.
Yeah, I've heard similar things because there was someone I was talking to about like a Wonder Woman that had come out that apparently got delayed because even though it's done, they aren't able to ship it yet because it's just sitting in storage because of some sort of contractual issue.
Yep.
So.
All I want is my collectibles, damn it. But no, I mean, so far DC's got a solid hit. They've got a solid system. We'll see how long it goes, how the standards are maintained. And, I mean, it's nice having comic book, new comics on Tuesday and on Wednesday. So, I mean, that's a plus.
It's also good not getting any more damaged books.
Yeah, Diamond the Bastards.
The biggest feedback that I've been hearing and reading is that with Diamond, you expect to get anywhere from 5 to 20% of your inventory to be damaged when it comes in.
And full boxes, cases of stuff getting damaged, yeah.
And with the new different distributors that they're using, they're not having, you know, anything damaged, or if so, it's like one or two books at most.
Yeah, one or two books, not cases.
Yeah, not
books.
Not high percentages of shipments. You know?
And they're doing immediate turnarounds on them too.
So
yeah,
so
that's
positive.
So I know that we talked about when Diamond contract was ending. You know, now we just have to wait and see how long it is until Diamond, you know, declares bankruptcy and flounders and goes under.
But no one wins with that situation, especially the indie guys. I mean, like Boom Studios, Image will flounder. They'll figure it out. Dark Horse is on the ropes. They lost more titles. And, I mean, the only thing really keeping them going on right now is Hellboy, and with Usagi Yojimbo getting its show on Netflix may give it a little bit of breathing room, but it's going to be short-lived with
well,
the future
and Dark Horse
for
is getting
Dark Horse.
A whole feature at, well, I would say at, you know, San Diego Comic-Con, but with San Diego Comic-Con, you know, with everything that's going on.
Tank, correct me if I'm wrong. What do they have? Like 4 or 5 titles?
At this point, yeah.
Again.
They've most of their stuff is either canceled or potentially being moved to another publisher. We'll see on that one. I know IDW took a little bit of a hit and they're behind on some stuff.
Yeah, but I'm not too worried about IDW since Marvel uses them to reprint books and hardcovers. I've seen DC flip over there a couple of times to print some stuff. IDW, yeah. I'm not overly concerned about IDW just because of who and what they are. I mean, they still got like all of Lock and Key that they're sitting on and Ghostbusters. And I mean,
and they're doing a lot of the crossover stuff, which is getting a lot of people
and
in.
And they're really hoping that Umbrella Academy on Netflix is going to help keep Dark Horse afloat.
We'll see. But I mean, Umbrella Academy hasn't been an active title for 4 or 5 years now.
Roughly, I think 5.
So, unless they're going to bring the title back?
I suspect Dark Horse is going to be bought, if I had to make an assumption, and I'm thinking it's going to be DC who buys them.
Wow, really?
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a big purchase, though.
Not really.
They can afford to save them. Think about how adamant Dark Horse has been about remaining independent. They're not going to sell cheap.
I think they're going to give them that. I think that's going to be part of the purchase. I think they're going to allow them to kind of similar with how what's DC doing their black label?
Yeah.
Where it is part of DC, but it's also not.
It's not in canon.
Yeah. So I'm thinking that's what's going to be done with Dark Horse. Also, they're going to buy the property and they're going to be able to use it for, you know, probably film, I'm assuming, and then they're going to allow them to retain their publishing rights for the comic books.
But to be fair, we've seen DC do this before with Vertigo, and they systematically just eliminated that entire division.
True.
God, I miss Vertigo.
Hopefully with
Don't
Jim
you?
I'm hoping with I Jim really in do. Charge, that won't happen this time.
I mean, Jim Lee was still in charge when they started, you know, like phasing out some of the Vertigo stuff.
Some of it, yeah.
So Jim Lee's great when it comes to the creative side, but we've yet to see him on, I think, on the business side. I mean, maybe he'll surprise all of us, but my expectations are not high in that.
Well, and you never know. They might bring in another person to oversee specifically the business aspect of it.
Yeah, because in my mind, I think we have another Joe Jusco on our hands.
God, I fucking hope not.
So, or excuse me, Quesada. Joe Quesada, not Joe Jusco. Sorry, Joe Quesada. Maybe we have another Quesada on our hands. So, I don't know.
Hope not, and hopefully they bring in someone that's going to be business-minded but still understands the aspects of the creativity. You know?
How was that? Yeah. Well, we'll see. I don't know. But, yeah, if they can keep this in the black label and, you know, bring in some decent stories and talent like they did for Vertigo, I'd be in.
Yeah. Well, it's all up in the air at this point. We'll just have to see how it plays out.
I was going to ask you guys, comic book related, do you know, have they released who the last Ronin is going to be from the that series? Yeah, that's what I was talking to Fox about this the other day, and I was just curious who guys would pick to be the final turtle.
Everyone is betting it's Michelangelo. In fact, a lot of the chats in the groups are saying it's Mikey.
And I think it would be the worst pick.
I think he would be as well.
I'm hoping it's Donatello, to be honest.
I that's what I said because, well, I was thinking Leonardo would be good because he would have to deal with his failure for his brothers.
As a leader?
I thought that would be the fallen leader would be an interesting angle. But Donatello, he died and came back, and he's gone through the most shit.
Yeah. And I'm thinking that's what they're gonna do is like a Legend of the Kung Fu approach, where the philosopher warrior is the only one left, and he has to deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause he's always been the more metaphysical of the turtles, so I think him having to deal with that crisis, that loss of leadership, the loss of his brothers, and having to deal with his mortality.
He's never trained as hard as the other guys, so I can see him facing that same failure that Leonardo would, but from a different angle of, like, if I only had trained as hard as they did instead of doing, you know, this stuff. And
yeah,
I don't know, but they've shown pictures. He's in orange. So everyone like immediately jumped to Mikey, and I think out of the choices he would probably be. He's a better choice than like Leonardo or Ralph. I'm sure Raphael got knocked out like immediately.
No, I think Raphael would be the worst, but
Ralph would be an old man Logan.
Yeah. He probably got smoked immediately. He ran in the wrong time.
Well, so it's not that so much. I think it's just like his rage that is like core to his character would cause him to self-destruct.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't be the one who would survive because he would just, his anger would draw him into self-destruction.
Well, and I think it would be essentially Old Man Logan again.
Yeah.
That's what it is. The dying gunslinger, you know?
Yeah.
Dash, weren't you saying, and all I know about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is what Stash has told me, but weren't you saying that Michelangelo is like the goofy one, the least world weary?
Yeah. He is. Well, and I think he's the one who brings the levity and everything to it.
Well, I think that would be a good character development of like, wow, it's really time to like grow up and like, you know, taking the one who used to be the most lighthearted and making him go through some shit sounds pretty interesting to me.
It'd be very depressing
he's the one that like
he just wants the pizza and have a good time.
Yeah, I feel like turning him would be the wrong choice because he's always the one that like embraces and loves the world. And I feel like if you break that angle from him, you break his core personality. And I feel like that would damage like every part of him in a way that would just be sad and tragic. Not necessarily interesting, just deeply, deeply sad.
Yeah, there's nothing more depressing than a sad clown.
They could have moments of that shining through. Like, you see he's had this huge turnaround from all these traumatic events, but maybe he's, like, given the opportunity to be really empathetic to someone and, like, cheers them up by being really goofy. I don't know.
I get what you're saying, Fox. I just don't see that as viable for what they're trying to do for this storyline.
Unless they want to make it like, unless they want to take it in that super, super depressing angle, I guess, because that's what would be, it would just be just brutally depressing to have Mikey collapse under that.
If they want to make us all just fucking cry.
The original Turtles, when they first came out, they were a darker indie comic. I mean, they didn't get brightened up until much later in the character's history. So
yeah, I mean, that's very
see them go back to that kind of elemental founding of the team might be kind of an interesting take.
Well, I have nothing against the darkness.
Yeah,
the darkness isn't the part. It's the existential depression that would exist after you read that comic book. If Mikey's the guy for the last of all.
I remember when I was happy and all I had was pizza.
I think the darkness makes the most sense.
No, I think the right thing for them to do would be for them to have Michelangelo sacrifice himself for whoever the Ronin is.
Yes. He was the last one.
He should be the last one, and he's the one who jumps in front and takes the most brutal and depressing death.
See, what I'm hoping is that as the story progresses, they do like flashbacks of how each turtle got taken out so that you can like they don't tell you who the turtle is, but they systematically eliminate them through the story.
And like,
him in the dark, you know, with the black mask and
keep the reader completely in the dark. Absolutely. So like the first issue, we see the end of Raphael. You know, how that went and him thinking back, or the second issue, what happened to Leonardo or whoever, just systematically knocking them out so that you don't know who it is. Cause I want to taste this. I want to enjoy the flavor for as long as possible on this one.
Well, the fact that it's Eastman and Laird, I mean, that's a definite possibility that they're going to really drag out the tension and make you like really get into it.
Yep. And I'm hoping so.
I think that's a really creative and interesting idea, but going back to the existential depression and terror, comic books are a reflection of the times. And if we're not in an existentially terrifying time, I don't know what would be.
But to a certain extent, because everything is so depressing and terrible right now, we got to take the Black Mirror route on this and be like, you know what? Maybe we don't need to introduce more horror into the world because it's already kind of terrible.
Possible. I am curious to see. I mean, we don't have long to wait. It's next month that the issue lands. So yep. A couple of weeks.
I already got myself a couple copies reserved.
Yeah. I got a couple already. I mean, I signed up for this ages ago. When I interviewed Eastman, I was like, you know, give me something. He's like, well, this is how we wanted to do it. So keep an eye out. I'm like, oh, okay.
they even have to look at a comic book.
I will definitely look at a comic book and purchase a comic book that is not just an anthology when they're all done.
I can see you totally going overboard on this. Not only will you get all of the issues, you'll get the collected edition, you'll get the hardcover. I could just see you completely embracing this, Stash.
How's that going to feel for you? It is the perfect thing for me. I mean, And the Venn diagram of my interests is pretty completely eclipsed by this issue. So,
other than the fact that it's not an actual book,
those crazy variants—they have a couple of variants that are sold out already completely.
Yep.
Variant covers; those things are gone in like 20 minutes on a few of them.
Yeah.
I mean, and the art on it already just looks so good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep, comic of the year right there, baby.
Yep. At least on my book.
So we know what the comic of the year is going to be. Let's talk about the movie of the year, Bill and Ted. It hits theaters on September.
Movie of the year, huh?
No, not really.
Actually,
at this point, it might be.
Actually,
it might
yeah.
be the only movie of the year. I mean,
it might be the only movie in the year. But it's still planning to hit theaters September 1st.
Is that true? Because I saw a release today from Bill saying that they were going straight, Alex Winter released that they were going to be going straight to video on demand and maybe in select theaters.
That's what I saw. It's both.
Yeah, they are doing both. They will be in theaters and video on demand on September 1st.
Yep.
Wow. What kind of world do we live in? God bless America.
I mean, would you see it in theaters right now?
Hell yeah. No,
I definitely would, but I feel like not a whole shit ton of people would.
It depends on the theater.
You really don't want to be in an enclosed space in a place like the Alamo where people are eating and taking their masks off and all that air is being recycled. You are not safe.
I don't, maybe, but I'm just so anxious to just go to a damn theater to watch a movie.
I agree with you there, but I wouldn't do it for Bill and Ted, to be honest. The fact that they're releasing it on video on demand on the same day makes it about 10 times more likely that I'm going to buy a ticket for that.
I mean, the new trailer that they released today, that actually is gold. I mean, that is comic gold that they have put together. I'm even more excited about this film now.
Same here. It looks like they're going to try, from what we've seen, it looks like they're going to avoid the major pitfalls that usually happen with those kind of movies. So,
you mean reboots?
Yes.
Is it a reboot or is it a sequel?
Yes.
Both, trilogy. Oh, it's a trilogy now.
I mean, technically, isn't it both at this point because of how long it's been?
It is.
I don't think time really factors into that.
No, it can't be a reboot because they're not recasting.
Yeah.
It's the same cast, so I think it's more
of a soft reset into a continued universe, because I think they're going to take this and build on it with the daughters.
Depending upon how successful it is?
Yeah, depending on the success of it, I'm assuming it's a soft reset and they're going to just introduce the new leads and then they're going to become the leads in the future.
We shall see.
I just hope that they take a moment to acknowledge George Carlin.
Oh yeah, hopefully.
That's kind of the only thing I really want to see. That they stop to, and I'm hoping, and I'm sure they have the class enough to do that. But that's my only big hope for it. But it looks like the exact same formula.
Because, you know, I mean, he's such a crucial character.
Yeah. Rufus.
You know, that they will definitely, you know, at least take a moment. You know, let's just real quick talk a little bit about reboots and or, you know, soft relaunches or whatever the fuck we want to call the nasty mess that has become the Star Wars universe. because Disney Plus has a couple of new things happening, right? They have the Bad Batch is a new series on Disney Plus. It's going to be coming out. Yeah.
Actually, that series I'm really looking forward to.
I can't wait for that. Yeah,
Bad Batch awesome. Looks great. Dave Filoni is going. He's going back to his animation roots. He's going to be awesome, especially after all the time he spent on The Mandalorian and everything he's got going on. The Bad Batch is going to be – that's going to be a great cartoon or animated. I don't know what they call it anymore.
Yeah. What I'm more looking forward to, if it actually happens, and we'll see, is there's rumors about Donald Glover perhaps being Lando.
That's what – yeah. It's – potential. They're in talks apparently with Donald Glover to start his own series based solely on Lando and what happens between, I'm assuming, Solo and the New Hope, as it's now referred to.
Yeah. I don't know. Let's get Obi-Wan done. Let's get that one in and see how that works. I just think Disney's getting ahead of itself because they're seeing dollar signs with Mandalorian and letting, you know, Favreau do his thing, that they're trying to jockey other properties in here, like, oh, we could do this, we could do that. And I think they're a little premature with trying to bring in all the star power when they don't have scripts, they don't have ideas. They don't have Favreau, you know, writing the other shows.
We don't know that though.
Favreau's not
going to
do it.
I think that Disney with the Star Wars is doing the, you know, the rifle style of things where it's, you know, let's just shoot out as many pellets as we can and hope we hit something. You know,
and the time and energy that Favreau is putting into Mandalorian, he's smart enough not to split his attentions.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. As I was like, you can only work on one really good IP at a time. And it's like the second he abandons it for something else, it's going to degrade in quality. And yeah. I don't think he's willing to do that.
He's got total control over Mandalorian. Why would he give that up?
Yeah. But like I said, I think right now Disney is just trying to go hard to set it, just, you know, shotgun approach. You know, hopefully they're going to hit something with Star Wars because they have failed in many and they have succeeded in a few. But they're just going to keep throwing them out there and hoping something sticks.
Yeah. Because Mandalorian, those are his toys. You're not going to let some other kid come in and play with your toys. No,
Well, no, I'm not saying let anyone take over Mandalorian.
Yeah.
He'd still be running Mandalorian, I'm assuming.
I wouldn't ever want to see it taken away from him. You know, but Disney needs to figure out what the hell they're doing anyway, because they're making all these announcements, you know, about Star Wars. But they haven't, you know, they've put a pause on, you know, Winter Soldier and Falcon.
Yeah, because of the COVID, and we've got WandaVision that's delayed.
Right.
We've got Natalie Portman signing on for Obi-Wan, and Christian Haydenson is also agreed to make an appearance in Obi-Wan, so...
Yeah, I mean, they have all of this stuff in the works. And I get that they're Disney and they can have, like, 100 balls in the air, whatever. But seriously, guys, like, can you just focus on something?
Just get right something now, out.
They have so many different things happening right now that nothing is coming out. And I'm just getting pissed off because they keep telling us, oh, this is going to happen. No, it's not. You haven't even kept your last promise. Motherfucker. Well,
maybe they give Lando to someone who's more up and coming or has a little bit of experience in that genre, but, you know, maybe. Can build on it.
Give it to Joss Whedon. See what happens.
I mean, no, Joss isn't going to flip over. Joss isn't going to flip because he's got too much invested with Marvel. But I could see one of the directors...
He has a contract with Disney.
But I could honestly see... one of the directors from Mandalorian, because Favreau brought in like 6 or 7 different directors, I could see one of them actually flipping over to do Lando. In fact, a couple of them come to mind.
If I'm going to be honest, I don't want Joss Whedon doing Lando.
No. He would just soap it up, and that would just I don't want it Whedoned.
I want him to reach outside of that, like dig deeper.
Yeah.
Reach for someone who like has experience in comic books or experience in writing serial.
Yeah, I want to see some grittiness.
Keep Whedon into Marvel, bring somebody new in. It's just the question of who. Is it going to be a name that we don't know? Or are we going to, be surprised with the name that they announce?
I think it'd be best if it's someone that we kind of know. Someone that, is kind of known, but isn't directly connected to any big universe already.
Well, I mean, have you guys maybe thought about a different angle and going with maybe smaller movies? Because that's the thing I'm more interested in right now, is because we get all these epic movies from Star Wars. I'm more curious about like a small, intimate, small group of people, a lower budget film, something that feels more indie. Because honestly, I feel like that's what we need to flush out this universe that they have. And it'd be a nice change of pace.
I think Lando is supposed to be a TV. Or not TV, but series.
Yeah.
I think they are pushing in the series direction for Lando.
I don't know if it's supposed to be an actual series.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, maybe. That'd be interesting.
Because I feel like that's a mini series, but I don't know if it makes sense as a continual series.
Yeah.
Especially since it's supposed to be taking place in between two of the movies.
Like have Phil Lamar coming in right. Why not?
Speaking of Samurai Jack, I don't know, does Phil Lamar write?
Yeah. He's done a little bit. Not much.
Smurf, are you gonna buy that game?
Hell yeah, I'm gonna buy that game. I've been trying to find if there's a collector's edition for it, because dude, I gotta get my Samurai Jack fix. Everyone's coming back to voice characters. I mean, even Rob Paulsen is coming back to voice the dog. I mean, this is gonna be a great game.
If you find a collector's edition, you have to get one for Stash too.
Wait, what?
That's true.
Why?
That's true. Because. Why?
Because why?
Samurai Jack I'll is like Stash's most ultimate favorite everything.
Yeah, I love Samurai Jack.
Well, so do I. I mean,
I love Samurai Jack more than you. If I got a tattoo on my chest, it would be a full Samurai Jack piece featuring him and the antagonist of the soft reboot that they did.
What?
We've been planning Stash's
Scaramouche.
Yeah, he's so good. He's the Scaramouche best is pretty character good. Ever.
Sammy Scotty. Davis Jr., yeah, in robot form. But I've got like all of the statues, the toy line. I mean, I'm pretty invested in Samurai Jack.
Well, I don't know if you've told me where exactly you live, and I too could own those things.
Well, if you guys want to talk about who loves Samurai Jack more, start your own podcast.
The Samurai Throwdown. Who loves it most? I like that idea.
All right. Well, while we're talking about, Samurai and whatnot, I don't know if this is actually Samurai because I've never heard of this series that is coming to Netflix. I can't even pronounce it. Usagi? Help me out here, somebody.
Usagi Yojimbo.
Thank you.
Usagi Yojimbo.
Yeah, Usagi.
Yep. So this is one of the longest running indie
rabbit.
Yes, he is one of the longest running independent comic books, and the story or the premise is it is a samurai rabbit, but he is a descendant of Usagi. So
yeah, Miyamoto Usagi.
Yeah. So it's very interesting a take. the comic has been spectacular over the years. So I'm really interested to see the art and the breakdowns and what they're going to do and just how, if they're going to make it brutal or how they're going to do this.
I wouldn't be surprised if they like Samurai Jack the hell out of it, to be honest.
I hope so.
I don't know. Do just the art looks cool. And just like the little clip on the article that that was sent over to me before this, does mention, despite some time playing around with the Ninja Turtles, he's never had his own animated series. So I'm like, dude, he was in Ninja Turtles, and I missed this apparently.
Uh-huh.
But he's been one of the most successful small press comics since 84, so on and so forth. Like, super cool looking. Like, it sounds really interesting. He has a roguish team, ninja, a pickpocket, and a pet lizard.
Yep.
I mean, that just kind of sounds awesome.
So, with it being it's his ancestor, or his descendant, I'm curious what we're going to get. So, if we're going to get flashbacks, if we're going to get, his own stories, are they going to try and integrate the two? So,
that could be interesting.
Yeah.
At least get like an origin kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Linking back.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm curious to see how they break this down. Who's going to do the final artwork? I know is also kind of a little dark area. So I don't know.
Yeah. They haven't announced any of the voices or anything like that yet. Just that Netflix has, signed a contract. It is theirs. It will be going up sometime between now and when it's live. That's all we know. There is no timeline. There are no dates. We know nothing other than it will happen at some point. So obviously it's very useful information, but it does sound really cool.
Yeah. So if you're a comic book speculator and you have access to pick some of these books up, now is the time, because they were already hard to find to begin with. I have a feeling with this, they're going to be twice as hard.
Yeah, it's going to be impossible to find that. Because they were already small runs. I mean, it was Dark Horse. So, and Mirage, all the small companies publishing it. So,
Tank, you're standing a little distant.
Sorry, I was moving.
Yeah. All right. Let's see, what else do we have on this lengthy agenda this week, because a lot of stuff happened over the last 2 weeks. Yes, in San Diego, Comic-Con fans have erected a shrine for Comic-Con. This is the first time San Diego Comic-Con has been shut down in 51 years. And so fans have decided that this is not acceptable. So decided that they would still gather, because the whole reason that they are doing it completely digitally is so that people can social distance and stay safe. But all of these people decided, no, we're going to all gather anyway.
Well, hopefully they are doing it safely, wearing their masks, and if it is an outdoor event, the risk of transmission is pretty dang low. There really haven't been a lot of cases attributed to the protests, even the anti-shutdown protests where people weren't wearing masks.
But they have created a small shrine, small as far as shrines go, near the convention center in San Diego. So apparently this is also really affecting the San Diego tourism influx that they would normally be getting, obviously. So this includes illustrations and vendor bags and notes and cosplay pieces and flowers and books and comics. And I mean, so it's huge. And there's a bunch of pictures, and it's crazy. You know, but the virtual event is live. And apparently, you know, because it's free, they're getting a really good response.
Is anybody here planning on attending?
No.
Yes. I have a lot of things bookmarked that I want to attend, as far as like, you know, the various, blah, 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 blah.
Panels.
Thank you. There's a lot of rum in this beverage.
I did attend one today, actually. It was for the New Mutants movie. And it was interesting. It was just kind of like watching a TED talk on your laptop, really. So, yeah, wasn't bad.
I'll just wait for the information to come out.
I was going to say, I'll just wait until someone throws it up on YouTube and I can watch it for free.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of what I'm going to end up doing anyway, because they showed the trailer for the new, actually they showed actual movie footage, like the first 10-15 minutes of the film, which they need to do because everyone is excited about the New Mutants movie, and you know, as they continually push that poor film to the back burner. So, and you can go online when you do this, you can actually print out your badge. So as if you were attending the con, you can print out your San Diego Comic-Con badge.
Well, because there are people who collect those.
Oh, yeah. I got all my badges since... I've been going.
Don't want to let that slip out, huh?
No.
Basket of my badges. I used to try to hang them, and then it just got to the point where it looked like a big, nasty mess. So I don't hang them on the wall anymore. They're now just in a basket.
Oh, no. I put, like, a big hook thing behind the door, and... I mean, yeah, it's full. Yeah. It's a better doorstop than the doorstop.
Of this, I have no doubt. So, let's see. Da-da-da. What else did we have on the list? Marvel Comics October 2020 covers were released. And some of those look really cool. Some of the new stuff that's coming out, some of the art is like, they're going really dark right now. Most of the comics that I've been looking at, Marvel, DC, and indie, are going darker, as of, you know, recent. But not,
I refer to my earlier comment.
You know, but the art looks really good. Like, it's very well done. It's very, you know, impressive. You know, like the Wolverine, Wolverine 6 that's coming out. Like all of the swords and stuff that are like jabbed through his person. It's kind of terrifying and yet really, like, well done. So, you know, and...
I thought you were going to say kind of terrifying and really hot.
No, he doesn't look hot in that because he's wearing the yellow face mask. It's terrifying yet erotic. No, not really. but the Hellions, that one on the other hand. You know, but, yeah, the comics... covers that have been released. Yeah,
issue 2 of Hellions landed this week.
Yeah. They are looking pretty awesome. You know, very excited about that. And since I have a brother-in-law that loves me dearly, I also have access to DC, the DC Universe online, and so can get to some of the comics and stuff online before I get a chance to get my hands on hard copy. So, that is very nice. By the way, I really love my brother-in-law. He's awesome. Just throwing that out there.
No, you're very
welcome. Let's see. Oh, completely unrelated to anything, but it just made me giggle, so I'm going to bring it up. Alex Trebek is, 36 years hosting Jeopardy, and is looking towards retirement because, you know, he has cancer, and, you know, he's been hosting the show for 36 years, and he is.
That's not the funny part.
No, this is not the funny part. The funny part is he is suggesting that Betty White be the one to replace him.
Hell yeah,
dude! She'd make it like what, a month?
Oh
no, like.
And his reasoning is because she's younger and better looking.
You guys misconstrued that. I was going to say she was going to be incredibly inappropriate and be blocked off the air. I wasn't implying that she was going to die.
She's immortal, but yeah, I would hope that she would bring her trademark sass to the table.
Yeah,
that would be beautiful. He thinks that, you know, he was saying, he's like, I really don't have any control over who gets to replace me, but if I did, I would pick Betty White. I'm like, yes. I would go back to watching Jeopardy every night like I did when I was living at home because, you know, my parents love Jeopardy and I used to love watching it with my older sister because we would have a competition of who got more answers right. And if Betty White was hosting, I would watch that show. I would DVR the fuck out of that show. But yes, so I just found that to be very amusing. Not necessarily super nerdy, but I want Betty White to host Jeopardy.
How can you not get any nerdier than Jeopardy? Jeopardy is probably like the main vein of nerdy.
Tis true, but you know, Betty White just... Oh, that is a very big scary looking thing. Go away, bug.
Golden Girls? Yep. That's super nerdy. Everybody loves Golden Girls.
Yeah, actually, I've been told that I'm the Blanche of my friend group.
Hooker.
But not hooker. She doesn't get paid. God, if you're going to insult me, do it correctly. Or critique me or name whatever. If you're going to give me a name, use the right one. You know, she's the hussy. And apparently, so am I. speaking of hussies, professional sports will be returning soon.
Yay. No one cares because it sucks.
It's already returned.
Well, they scrapped. Okay, so Major League Baseball started back up, and they're running a shorter schedule. Basketball is checking everyone at the door and isolating them in Florida. And NFL, everyone is due to report within the next 2 weeks. They scrapped preseason and are going directly into just the regular football season.
Yep.
So there's the quick rundown.
The COVID testing requirements for all of the players and everything is just insane.
It's the only way they could get it approved. They had to, each individual team had to have their plans approved by a separate company overseeing all of their health, everything, all of it.
I just need to know how I'm going to pick my fantasy football team. I'm fucked.
Yeah,
be careful. You know, that's about it.
Start board.
Get some handcuffs. I mean, you need some handcuff players this year.
I mean, come on, Tom Brady
not the sexy kind of handcuff. The handcuff you need when your best player gets his head cracked off.
Damn it. I was really excited that Smurf was going to have handcuffs.
Well, I don't know about that. I'm not there to view that. So, do you integrate handcuffs into your fantasy football?
Yes. Yes, you do. Yes, we do. It comes with the cup.
It's okay, Bobby. I will bring the handcuffs.
It's okay, Fox. I have like 4 pairs of handcuffs in the dungeon, plus several other bondage equipment.
Well, I'm sure you'll be glad to give me the tour very soon.
Yes, yes, I shall.
Well, I mean, you could just incorporate the handcuffs because everyone's got to wear masks anyway, right? So
I'm telling you, we'll just, you know, strap you down to the bondage table, spray you down with, you know, disinfectant. It's
We got something new planned for the fantasy draft this year, guys.
I think this sounds like a great idea. Instead of, you know, having the girls show up in, like, the little referee outfit during, like, the fantasy draft, handing out the shots.
She shows up in a plague mask.
And everybody gets strapped down to a bondage table with handcuffs.
Nice.
That's one way to go about it. You gotta get inventive with your activities these days.
All right, and on that note, do we have any other topics that we missed? Oh, we have one more thing on the agenda that I forgot the tank sent over that has nothing to do with handcuffs.
So what fun is that?
What?
Apparently, what was it? You were saying consoles? Do-do-do-do-do.
That you were discussing that game price is going to go up next generation.
Oh, yes, yeah. Sorry. That's already basically been established that we're going to, for the first time in a long damn time, actually going to see
like 15 price years.
Increase on new released video games. It's going to
It is definitely time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's far past time, and it's only going up $10. I mean,
yeah, it's going to 70, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's going to be worth it. It's like, they need a little more income, and honestly, they've been underselling games, which is why microtransactions have gotten so out of control from certain studios. Hopefully this will counter some of that.
I don't mind paying more for the games because of all of the artistic input that goes into it, but like, man, these new consoles are going to be so expensive.
They're probably going to fall in line with very similar. I mean, most of the, they don't really get profits on consoles. There is almost no profit on the companies selling consoles.
Yeah, usually
all their profit comes from the games, the accessories, all that stuff. Yeah, almost all consoles sell at a loss, even at $400 a piece, they still sell at a loss.
It's like, it's going to cost the PlayStation 5 to be made. It costs $450.
Yeah.
And like they're thinking it depends on what Microsoft drops their price at. If they drop it at 500, they'll sell it for 500. If they drop it at 400, they'll take the $50 loss and sell it at 400.
Yeah, you're going to see a... It's like always. You're gonna see a race to the bottom on it, to who can get the lowest price out. If they're gonna try their damnedest to match each other, so I'm guessing $400 to $450 is gonna be its price out the door on either.
Yeah, console. I'm thinking okay, 500.
I got the impression that it would be like $500 to $600.
It probably will, based on options. If you have a disc, the hard drive space, those are the two huge differentiators in the console prices.
Well, and we know that PlayStation for sure is going to have a fully digital option. I don't think they've said yet if Xbox is, but I'm assuming with how deep they're diving into their Game Pass, that would happen.
Yeah, they've had rumors of Lockhart is, like, it's been long rumored that that's going to be their digital release.
Mm-hmm.
So it's probably going to happen. I think they're just sitting on it until they announce the prices. And probably. I think it's going to be a game of chicken. It's like, I think Microsoft is going to wait because they got fucked over so bad last generation by overpricing their console that I think they'll wait for PlayStation.
Oh, and they lost them. Microsoft, even more than PlayStation, lost a truckload of money on their initial release. They made up a little bit of it on the with the One X.
Yeah.
But not nearly as much as PlayStation ended up making back on the Pro. So they're gonna probably sit Sony out as much as they possibly can.
Yeah. They need to. It's like, I'm really curious because, I mean, console prices, like, the second they're announced is the second pre-orders go up, and that's what I've been waiting on.
Well, and the funny thing is, like, you talk about the console prices. If it is $600, well, I was around when the Super Nintendo got released. Does anybody remember the release price for a Super Nintendo?
No, I remember having a Super Nintendo.
It was $800.
It was $800 when it first
released. At that time?
Baby Seamus.
Holy shit.
And that was in the early 90s.
$800 in like 92? So, like, what is that? If you think about...
$1,500 to $1,600 is what it would be now.
Sweet Christ.
So the fact that you're paying $600, if that's what it ends up being, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, that's not a lot of money.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
In the grand scheme of things, I'm a broke millennial.
Hey, I'm there with you. I got $100,000+ in student loan debt. I get you.
Oh, dude. Okay. Student loan debt. Completely unrelated. Random ad popped up on my Facebook. Are you single, no debt, no tattoos, and a virgin? There are so few of you left, and yet those are what men are most attracted to. If you fit these qualifications, click here. And then I had this whole bit about how student loans and student debt are undesirable in a mate.
Why would anyone be seeking a virgin?
I don't know.
Who the fuck knows? I don't have that kind of time to teach people. Right?
Also, like,
the Mormon church. Yeah,
that, but also, like, the concept of virginity is incredibly outdated. I figure I'd just acknowledge that before we move on.
No, I agree wrong. With you, but, I mean, really, my bigger thing is I don't want to have to teach somebody what's what. You know, I just, maybe it makes me lazy, but I just want to be like, dude, know your shit. But like, hey, if you're an untattooed virgin with no student loan debt, so like, oh, hey, are you stupid? Do you have no tattoos?
Somebody's coming to your house in the
man.
Somebody's coming to your house in the middle of the night to bag and tag your ass into the back of a van, and you're going to wake up in another country.
There must be some sort of new incel church that's starting soon.
Oh, my God. But this was like a Facebook ad that popped up. And I was like, do not show, find it offensive, blah, 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 all of the things. And I'm just like, motherfucker, first off, why would you even show that to me? Do you not realize I run the page The Subtle Slut?
Well, they're a virgin, right, Bobby?
Completely
virgin.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Totally. I mean,
it might have been those sacrificial virgins you were looking for.
You know,
and then misinterpreted.
I'm sure I'm a virgin in something. Everyone's a virgin in something.
Yeah, I mean, there's got to be something out there you haven't tried.
Give me a list.
And on that bombshell, we shall say goodbye. give us a like. Give us a share. We are the nerds that know. If you've got any questions, comments, or some odd offers that you'd like to throw our way, please put it in the comments below. But in the meantime, we will be back in a couple of weeks with the latest and greatest in geek news. In the meantime, run fast, laugh hard, and always be kind.